Screw it, I'll say it. Jordan loves the guy.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
No way!
What's
up?
What do you think? He's just going to start regressing now, do you think?
No.
I don't.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do you think they might be just like throwing stuff at him? Let's just see where your heart is, Jordan.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Packers linebacker Rashawn Gary, Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin. Coming up, actor, author, and former California governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it's hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on the Roku channel, which is free on every Roku device known to man. Select Samsung Smart TV, Amazon Fire TV. We are free on the Roku app because guess what? The Roku channel's on that app. And then for those who are sitting in front of the old internet tubes, therokuchannel.com. We understand you're at work and we understand that you have stuff to do, but the Roku channel's free on the internet and you have a computer there. So do the right thing is basically what I'm saying.
Always do the right thing.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on this program. We are here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network, Sirius XM Odyssey, and more. One of the many reasons why I love doing this show is not only to be here and answer your calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's also because the interesting people that I'm so fortunate to talk to, and in the case of Michael Irvin, and Michael Irvin is leaving the studio and in about 15 minutes time right here on our set is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ooh,
and we are pretty psyched about
what
that.
What is happening?
You know what I'm saying?
Get to the chopper!
That's right. Well done. Be useful. 7 tools for life. Mike. You were very useful on that drop right there. So you got 6 tools to go.
Yes.
It's not the tool.
It's going to take a long time.
I don't know if that's the way it works with this book, but
for the other
6 tools to go.
Who's your father and what does he do?
By Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who is your
right
who
here.
Is your daddy so. And what does he do?
Who's your daddy?
What okay. Does he do?
Terminator 2 was on last
you guys
night.
Get that? No.
It was. I watched it.
Pacheco ruled out, Rich.
Yeah, wait, hold on a second. Don't say that yet. I wanted you guys to tap dance while I picked up Clyde Edwards-Helaire in my fantasy league. What the hell's the matter with you?
Wow.
See that, Rich?
I think somebody...
Can you hold on a second?
I feel like somebody
again,
has
this
him
is not my
league.
First rodeo here.
I
Chris,
that.
Can you tell me the news that's going somebody, on so I can be off camera and on my phone?
Somebody has him in my league. Isaiah Pacheco ruled out.
Oh,
looks like
a
CEH or McKinnon week coming.
McKinnon? Is McKinnon in? Is he healthy? I don't know if he is, bud.
No? McKinnon, full practice on Thursday.
For McKinnon?
Yeah, McKinnon.
Hold on a minute. No, that's the guy. I might add
McKinnon.
Might be the guy, though.
Jared McKinnon?
McKinnon's available in my league.
Ed. Come on.
I'm just going to pick up both
this
of them.
This is exactly why Roku has me, right? Hold on.
Man,
come on!
Look, this is the week before the playoffs. We need to win. We need
to
win.
Jared McKinnon.
We need to win.
Yes!
I'm Adam McKinnon. Do I drop Gainwell?
Are you sure he's the ad over CEH, though?
I and Rich and
both.
Eisen.
Add both.
I
might want to go with CEH.
Yeah, though. Man. I have just picked him up.
Remember McKinnon caught all those touchdowns at the end of last year?
You know what we need to do right now? We need to get back to servicing the audience.
Sorry.
Because I've already accomplished my mission. Which is picking up Jared McKinnon on live Rich Eisen show.
He went to withhold information.
Roku channel and
so
radio.
So he could get the edge on his fantasy.
And by the way,
that's
it's
great.
A shoulder injury for Pacheco. So let's understand this is a human being we're talking about right here.
Of course.
And we should be thinking about him.
Obviously.
In his recovery.
Obviously.
Swift as it may be. And I'm not referring to Taylor.
Taylor? Yeah.
All right. Very
DeAndre?
Good. Neither.
No. DeAndre?
Let's get back to the most important business
Stromile?
At hand. Let's get back to the most important business at hand. Which is servicing the Rich Eisen Show viewing and radio audience in one of, as I said yesterday, one of the most important aspects of the Rich Eisen Show, I guess, the RES consulting firm that we created years ago. We have become the 100% source to go to when it comes to injured ankles and its recovery process.
Yes.
Last year, we were all over Patrick Mahomes hurting his ankle. And as we know, every single time he appeared after that, we were all over it, watching him go up a podium, down a podium, his footwear, what his choice of footwear was. So, Jaguar fans, you have come to the right place. Watching Trevor Lawrence barely get off the field on Monday night and then Wednesday, showing up with a wrapped ankle in an open-toed sandal. And you're thinking, if this thing needs some sort of reinforcement, a wrap with an open-toed sandal? This is not the sign of a seriously injured ankle. Again, you need us to point that out. Then we watched him practice yesterday and move around with this white sleeve on his right leg, entire right leg. Interesting choice. We have new practice video from today. Is this practice video? What do we have here? Practice video. RES Consulting on the job for ankle watch. Trevor Lawrence. Oh, this guy's playing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that white jog.
Jogging.
Beautiful white jog.
Yep. Okay. Moving around, throwing. Throwing. Is anybody watching him? Nobody's watching him.
It's,
oh, they're not concerned.
No.
They're not looking. Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy's like, I'm not even looking at him.
Yep.
Mike McCoy's like, my back's to him. I don't even need to see him.
Great.
No, honestly, if they're concerned about the ankle, like, you'd be all over him. Like, it would be like Big Dom staring at you.
Nobody cares.
Like, if you didn't know which ankle it was,
you wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't even know.
Oh, why's he got a brace on his knee?
You'd be worried about that brace on his left leg.
I wouldn't even list him as questionable.
What did I tell you, Rich Eisen?
So can I take Calvin Ridley out of my not him from fantasy?
You may. Well, excuse me. When you gave your fantasy advice yesterday, it was like you kept your finger on the chess piece. You had not made your move.
Hit the clock.
I mean, that's
like I got intel after I gave
that. By the way, that was never part of the Queen's Gambit. She never kept her finger on the piece.
No, just Queen's Gambit.
By the way, great show. I'm sure you can see it right here on Roku. All right, so that's our professional assessment. Let's see it one more time. Let's see the videos one more time, please.
Do I drop Tyler Boyd and pick up McKinnon?
1,000,000%.
Okay,
Jarrett McKinnon is the king. Well, let's focus. Focus.
Sorry.
All right, it's a light jog. He's wearing that brace in the left knee. I mean, you can't even tell.
No. Like I said, if I wouldn't have seen it, I wouldn't know what ankle it was.
This is my point. Like, the coaches aren't even staring at him. Nope. They're not looking at it. Wouldn't you, if you're concerned about his ankle, see what it looks like?
Team doctors should be around.
Now, for the radio audience, he's just in the end zone, just walking around and throwing.
No limp, no hitch.
You know, and what I would say here, Adam Stiles, is that where, courtesy of the video? Stites. Thank you, Adam Stites. I'm sorry I mispronounced your name. We appreciate your video. Well shot. The mise-en-scene is exactly what we needed from Rich Eisen Consulting.
In the
most important silo we have, which is ankle watch, now it's different. Let me just say this. And again, this is 20 years of football acumen and talking about it from NFL Network, that what we just saw of him strolling around in an end zone throwing, different when Myles Garrett is chasing you.
That's true. True.
Even one-armed Myles Garrett.
One-armed Myles Garrett.
That's a very good point, Rick.
Not bad. He's the bandit?
He was hunting down Richard Kimball. Is why,
oh, I see. See, I'm thinking Vegas. I'm thinking Endgame, yeah, but I'm thinking Super Bowl.
He was thinking one-armed bandit. You're thinking,
okay.
Was the one-armed man? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, wouldn't you? How do you not start him? He looks he's ready to go, right?
He's fine.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's going.
He's playing.
Question is, against who? We know he's against Cleveland. Who is going to match point for point with the Jacksonville Jaguars offense? Because they're in Cleveland. Is it Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who has officially cleared concussion protocol? He's ready to go. Or Joe Flacco?
Flacco.
Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, he told us exactly what's on his mind. Wait a minute. I'm being told it's the exact opposite of that today.
You're starting quarterback Sunday.
Yeah, both guys practiced this week. Both guys practiced well. I got faith in both guys, but not going to name a starter.
Are you not naming a starter because you're not sure or because you just kind of want to keep that on your
head? You don't have to, I guess is probably the best way of putting it.
That's another way of saying it.
You don't have to.
Do you have the what were they really thinking?
Stand by.
This is another very important part of RES Consulting, is that we provide insight no one else does on the Rich Eisen Show. Go ahead and hit it.
What were they really thinking?
Simple. Two words. Suck it. I'm telling you.
You forgot emotion if you're going to do that.
No. Suck it. I don't really talk that way normally. I don't know where that came from.
Hanging out with me.
I'm telling you.
We don't have to.
Maybe it's Arnie's coming here, and I'm feeling a little bit more bravado.
Yeah, why? I mean, why not?
I mean,
why
wouldn't you? He's not telling anybody. No. Why would he?
Because he doesn't know.
You know what? Nothing is more cagey
than Dick Geron.
No, that's true. Cagey Dick Geron is one of my favorite nicknames I've come up with. Obviously. There's Playmaker, Dick there's Terminator, Geron. And there's Cagey Dick Geron. Nothing more cagey than not telling people if you're playing Joe Flacco. That is close to the vest as a vest can come. You're playing cards. All right. Are you guys ready for Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Let's go. Come on. Let's go.
I've been ready for him since I was 10, Rich.
Let's okay. Go. Come on now.
The first time I saw him.
What are we doing?
All right. Arnold Schwarzenegger's new book is called Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life. He's about to show up here on the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel and more. All right, folks, let's talk about game time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big-time events, because it can be worrisome, it can be time-consuming, and it can be expensive. So game time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on game time in seconds with 2 taps, and there's a game time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Now, you told him about how you are the Bill Walsh of audio executives.
Exactly,
you
yeah.
can't screw these up. Your favorite catchphrase from the original Predator. Go ahead. Here's one.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
All right. That's number one. Here's number two.
Okay.
Get to the chopper!
Can't hear them at all.
Okay.
You can't hear them. Yes.
You can't hear them.
So what I'm going to do, I'm doing this blindfolded.
Mike,
wait a minute. The sounding, wait a minute.
No,
did Bill Walsh not have the volume up? Did the Bill Walsh of sound engineers not have the volume up for the second?
Please.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
we can
boy.
Kill it.
This is not Bodell.
I don't want to cause
can
feedback.
You go, oh. There's a method to his madness. Do you want to try one more time now?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, man.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Okay, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Okay, here's the next one.
Get to the chopper!
Get to the chopper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's the other one.
Okay, mother.
Okay, there's that one.
Okay.
Start bench cut.
All right, get to the chopper, gets cut, because it's only an incidental line, and the only reason we remember it is because he's Austrian. If anybody else said, get to the choppers, it wouldn't have been a line. It wouldn't have been a line. It's only because he's Austrian. Cut. It's superfluous. We're going to bench your one ugly MF-er. So what you're going to do is you're going to start, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Because it's a succinct line, and it's done in a very naturalistic way.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Very well done.
That's just...
Now, for everybody else who comes in here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're going to show
I'm
them...
I'm setting the bar here.
We're going to show them this start bench cut, because you have raised the bar, Keegan.
Setting
Michael
the bar
King.
Right here.
We're going to edit out Del Tufo.
I was just
going to
say...
We're
going to
edit that out.
Can you edit that,
we're gonna edit that out?
No, it's
too good.
Perfect. Well, this is all kinds of awesome. We are so excited to have here in studio, in the flesh, the author of Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life,
also just happens to be the world's greatest bodybuilder, one of the greatest movie stars of all time, and the leader of the world's sixth largest economy back in the day, the great Arnold Schwarzenegger, here on The Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you.
Wow, look at the standing ovation. That's amazing.
Oh, I'll
give you one. Where do you get this audience from? It's like, it's fantastic.
Full-on standing ovation.
Nice.
And by the way, you are a first of, in the history of our show, we're in year 10. Nobody's ever said, hey, that chair, what did you call it, a baby chair? Is that what you called it when you saw our chairs?
Yeah. So what happens is,
yes,
it's just psychological.
Yeah, okay.
That if I sit low, mm-hmm, or it is a chair that leans back, mm-hmm, which means comfortable chair, mm-hmm, I lose energy.
We don't want that.
And so I know myself, if I sit up straight, mm-hmm, then I keep my energy level.
Okay.
And so it's just a psychological thing. So whenever I see, and a lot of times I do speeches and Q&As in front of huge audiences, and then just before I go out, they have to kind of rearrange the chairs because I just want the regular hotel chair, just some dining room chair or something. And they had this beautiful couch and a beautiful sofa and all that stuff. And I said, get rid of it. I fall asleep on that couch.
Well, we can't have that here.
No, God forbid. I mean, it's like...
No, so you went, you took Chris Brockman's chair, my colleague across the way. You took his chair.
First for everything, Rich.
But it is, and by the way...
He was nice. He says, please take it.
That's right. Exactly.
What am I going to fight you? Absolutely not.
Got to tell you, he looks better in your chair. No offense.
There you have it.
Chair looks better under him. Does that make sense? So I see again, you're wearing, is this an original governor's zip up?
This is the original governor's jacket.
Do you get one of those when you become governor, or did you have to?
No, I just got it made.
Huh.
You know,
why not?
I got it made, all kinds of things.
Okay.
With the governor's seal on it. And a lot, as a matter of fact, I got made, I think, 5 or 6 of them. And the rest of them I auctioned off,
mm-hmm,
because they go for a lot of money. So I always raise a lot of money for after-school programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had just a month and a half, 2 months ago, we had a fundraiser at the house where we had a poker tournament.
Uh-huh.
And so we raised around, you know, $2.5 million with the poker tournament, and then we auction off items.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went up to $7 million this year for after-school programs. So these kids have a program after school, after 3 o'clock, between 3 and 6, and one of the things that they auctioned off was one of those jackets, and it went for $50,000.
Jeez.
And I said to myself, well, it cost me $300 or $200, so now we auction it off for $50,000. I mean, so but it's really crazy, those auctions, because people come there, they have a lot of money, and they're very giving, so they're very generous. They know that this doesn't really have that value. Like, for instance, I auctioned off a humidor. It looked kind of like the White House, and it auctioned off kind of like beautiful with 500 cigars inside.
Jeez.
And all the labels were presidential labels and stuff like that. So very well thought out.
Yes.
I designed the whole thing and came up with the idea, and it sold for $250,000.
Whoa.
Wow.
So just to give you an idea. So we do this. I think about it throughout the whole year of, what can we create that would be a great auction item. You know, sometimes we auction off dumbbells that someone gave me that has the Terminator face on it on the outside that I really don't need anymore. You know, there's like 80-pound dumbbells. I mean, I don't use 80-pound dumbbells anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I go to 50 maybe if I'm lucky. But I mean, in any case, this is the kind of stuff that we do. And it's also one of the things I talk about in the book.
Yeah.
To give something back to the community and to your country.
Be useful. 7 tools for life. So why write the book right now, Arnold?
You know,
why?
It was a total fluke, because I started 10, 12 years ago doing commencement speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, I got to kind of teach kids something that they need to know, how to be more successful rather than just do a regular speech. And so I did at USC the commencement speech. And after that, the reaction was really great, which was kind of like, here are the 5 or 6 things that I wished I'd known. And I gave them the kind of the tools to success. And then I got a really positive reaction. And then other universities asked me to give speeches and commencement speeches. Then I was asked to do motivational speeches. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden I was in the speaking circuit doing motivational speeches. So I said, myself, this is the craziest thing. I never ever thought of myself as a motivational speaker or anything. And then publishers started getting in touch with me and saying, you know, you should do a motivational book. And then my agent finally said, look, I think that we can really find a great publishing house that would understand the things that you're trying to accomplish and motivating people, helping them to be more successful, helping them to be happier with their progress in life and all that and the direction they go and so on. And so let's go and find a good publishing house. And so we found Penguin in America and in England, and we made the deal.
And you made the deal. Yeah. And it just seems like at this day and age too, Arnold, that you know any help in trying to figure out how you can be part of something and the community can come together and be made better. It just seems like right now we need that more than ever, quite frankly.
Yes, absolutely. Arnold. But, you know, it's really wild if you think about it, how many people are unhappy, how many people are angry because of the lack of success or because they're not really doing the things that they want to do in life. And so what I've always felt was that I was always happy. Mm-hmm. I was always happy with the job that I was doing. When I was training 5 hours a day for bodybuilding, I was happy because I knew what I'm shooting for. I knew that this is the goal. Here's my vision to be Mr. Universe, to be the greatest bodybuilder of all time. And that's what I'm shooting for. So I was happy going to the gym and doing the sets and the reps and the weights and all of those kind of things, rather than kind of feeling, oh my God, another day of training. There was always a purpose there. So I feel like that if people wake up in the morning and there's a purpose, and there's a reason, and there is, you know, you're passionate about something that you're chasing, it makes life so much better and you are so much happier. Because so many people get up in the morning and they have no goal, they have nothing. So that's why you have 78% of the people in America hate their jobs. And I think this is just a miserable number if you think about it, because that's why people can't wait to retire. I mean, I do the opposite. I try to do everything I can not to retire, right? I mean, so that's because I'm happy with what I do. I'm happy with the acting. I was really happy when I was the governor of California and I was sitting up there in the Capitol and learning every day all the policy stuff and how to bring people together, how to negotiate, how to be inclusive, and how to get things done, and then how to sell this idea to the people of California and bring them in, and make them understand what we were trying to do in order. So it was so challenging. It was so much fun to represent 40 million people. Yeah. And it was the greatest job I've ever had.
Arnold Schwarzenegger here on The Rich Eisen Show. Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life. It's a number one New York Times bestseller already. I'm so excited for you to be here because I am such a fan and have been such a great fan of so much of what you've done. And what we do here on our program is we have a construct called Celebrity True or False, where we ask questions about your work and you tell us what's been written or what's been said is true or false, if you don't mind. Okay, and we have actually, this is, and hopefully you appreciate this production value. I think it's like a tentpole movie. Check it out right here. Here we go.
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
That's it. That's all it is right there. What do you think, Arnold? What do you think of our production value right there?
I don't even know how you can afford this stuff.
I know that.
I mean, it's a business that goes beyond Spielberg and all of this geniuses, Jim Cameron production.
I
mean,
I agree. It is a Cameron-type production.
It's like Avatar and Jaws all together in one.
I know you appreciate the finest stuff, so that's why I wanted to ask you.
But how do you do it?
Well, you know what? I just take it one segment at a time, hope for the best, you know? That sort of thing.
But you must have a great vision.
Oh, that's why I wear these glasses.
And this is why I talk about it as a first chapter in the book. Have a vision. So you have that vision.
Guys, do I have vision? These are not yes men, okay? No, they will tell me if I'm wrong.
Oh, absolutely. They're very honest kind of people.
I'm not surrounded by
those. He's got good vision.
Okay.
Yeah. Arnold, Rich also has the schmay going for him.
Oh, good.
You know, he's got the schme.
That's it.
I knew his soul brothers.
All right, first up, celebrity true or false with Arnold Schwarzenegger in studio.
Let's do it.
All right, first up, true or false, Terminator producers originally wanted you to play the Kyle Reese role and O.J. Simpson as the Terminator. Is that true?
That's correct.
So
and in the end, when they met me, they felt like, oh, I think that this guy will be better as Terminator because he looks much more believable as a killing machine. They thought that O.J. didn't look like a killing machine, and so they passed on him, and they asked me to play the Terminator.
And then the rest is history.
The rest is history, exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah, but now, of course, everyone in the studio system denies that this ever happened. You know, they say, no, I never wanted O.J., and there was no discussion about it, but Jim Cameron and I, we both know. That is a fact.
What a huge moment, I think, in obviously movie history right there. True or false, the original I'll be back line in The Terminator was written as I'll come back, and you had to convince James Cameron to change it.
Wrong.
Okay.
So Jim Cameron wrote I'll be back, and I said to him, I don't like the way I sound when I say I'll be back. I didn't quite understand the L thing,
okay,
being German speaking. And he said, well, just say the way it says, I'll be back. And I said, well, I'd rather say, I will be back.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds more machine-like. And he says, all right. He says, but I mean, are you the writer or am I the writer of the script? And he says, well, you're the writer. He says, well, then don't tell me how to write. He says, I don't tell you how to act. He says, so let's just keep that going like that. I says, and just let's do 10 takes of I'll be back. And you pick the one that you like, and that's the one that we do. And that's the one that we keep in the movie, and that's exactly what we did. But the interesting thing about it was, no matter how much we argued about this, which we had daily kind of talks like that, it was a line that no one thought would be ever repeated again.
Really?
Because no one thought this is going to be one of those lines that people will repeat. And so when the movie came out, I remember I was in New York, and a guy came up to me after the screening and says, oh, Arnold, I'm a big fan of yours. I love your bodybuilding career. He says, can you repeat the line, I'll be back? And I said, I'll be back. And he says, no, the way you say it in the movie. And then I said, I'll be back. He says, yeah. Oh, my God. And he ran off. I mean, like a crazy guy, right? And then it happened again and again and the next day again. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, wow, this is kind of weird. So I called Jim Cameron. I said, this I'll be back line. I said, I think he was so right. I said, because it wouldn't have been that cool if I would have said, I will be back, right? Yeah. And he said, no, I told him it would work. And he says, but it's going to be the most repeated line, I think, in history. And it has become really one of the most repeated lines.
Yeah. And then who knew that you were drilling down on what's the right thing to say, what's not, and that you were handling the most, one of the most famous lines in the history of movies. Unbelievable.
Wow.
All right. Another one, true or false, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you originally disliked the Terminator 2 script because your character didn't kill anybody.
I loved the script. I just didn't like my character because I said to myself, wait a minute. Are we now turning kind of liberal here?
Mm-hmm. I see.
What's going on here, politically speaking? I said that all of a sudden the Terminator becomes a softie and all that. And, politically correct. Because maybe action movies are going out or violence in the movies goes out or something like that. So there was all kinds of things that went through my mind.
Is that what it was?
And do you
think? Oh, okay.
It was not at all. It was brilliant, brilliant writing by Jim Cameron. Because what he did was he put the twist in there that the Terminator comes back, but this time to protect, Sarah Connor and also her son. And so I was the protector. And so the kid says to me, he says, but you can't go around killing people. And then I say, I won't. And he says, you have to promise me. And I say, I swear I will not kill anyone. And so, therefore I shoot people. but I don't kill them. I shoot them in the knee. There's right away, literally like a second later, there's a scene where the guard comes out of the guardhouse and they just take the gun, boom, boom, and he falls down in front of us. He says, you told me that you're not going to do that. I said, he will live. You know? And then we move on. So I really don't kill anybody. So I was kind of shocked in the beginning, but then when he explained it to me, I was all in, and brilliant, brilliant writing.
I have a few more of these, but I want to pause and, it's about true or false or not. What is the movie you get the most that people say they love the most of your, when they stop you or they wrote meet you, say, I love this movie. Is it
really
the Terminator?
It depends of where I go.
Okay.
You know, I could go to a place and people will say, I love Kindergarten Cop.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite movie. Others will say they like Twins,
mm-hmm.
with Danny DeVito and those. And then, of course, a lot of people say, you know, Terminator 1, Terminator 2. Some of them say Predator. So it really depends. That's why I always have a difficult time when people say, what was your favorite movie you've ever done?
Oh, sure.
How do you pick that?
No, I wouldn't.
Between Twins and Terminator 2 and Predator and True Lies and all of those movies, I mean, it's crazy. So I just tell them, I said, look, there are movies that have been highly successful because of their success in the box office. And then there's movies that maybe were not as successful, but I had the greatest time doing them. You know, so it really depends on which way you look at it, what is my favorite.
Well, you named a bunch of movies, but not my favorite of yours. The Running Man.
The Running Man.
Is my favorite movie of yours.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know how, is that a rarity that you get that, or you get that a lot? Or
Yeah. But I mean, because The Running Man, there used to be a time where people said to me, The Running Man is my favorite, but then it was outdone clearly with Terminator 2 and
sure.
with True Lies and those movies. So, but in any case, I'm happy because now I've heard that they want to do a remake
of
Running Man. That's what I've heard. I've read that, yes. And so we will see what happens.
But do you have the unitard to still, the Richards unitard to still wear it right now?
I would not be playing that same character.
Okay.
But I mean, nor am I interested in being in it.
Ah, okay. I mean, but you give your blessing to the remake.
They can do whatever they want.
Okay, very good.
It's your project.
So I just love the movie. I thought it was, I've seen it a million times over. And, you know, me being an NFL guy, do you have a Jim Brown story from that? From the shoot at all?
Well, Jim Brown was fantastic on the set. And when he did the fight scenes and all that stuff, he didn't need any stunt people to double him.
I mean, he's like Dirty Dozen.
He,
I mean, he's Jim Brown.
He's it.
Right.
But, I mean, the man is made out of steel.
No, he did not use a stunt double in Running Man.
No. I mean, he just was doing the fight scenes. He was doing, threw himself around. And he was, you know, he's an extraordinary athlete, as you know.
Sure.
And so I think that's the advantage. But the same is also true, like with guys like Will Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. When I did Conan number 2 with him,
that's right.
There was no stunt guy. He was 7'2". I mean, it's crazy. And there were no stunt guys for me either, because no one at that point, at that time, was that muscular. Now, of course, there is a lot of stunt people that are very muscular, and there's a lot of actors that are very muscular. So this whole thing caught really on, and everyone now is working out. But in those days, this was a rarity.
Yeah, and then put up the photograph, Mike Hoskins. Let's just check this one out, too. Look at that picture.
Yeah, so this is
Andre the Giant, and Will Chamberlain.
I weighed at that point 235 pounds, but it looked like a... I look like the Danny DeVito amongst those guys. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was Andre
Andre
like?
The Giant, he was there wrestling.
Yeah.
So he was in Mexico City. We were filming in Mexico City.
Yeah.
And so he was wrestling. And so Wilt and I would go to his wrestling matches.
Look at that.
Yeah. So we would go to his wrestling matches. And then after that, Andre would take me out for dinner. And he would take me to this spectacular Mexican restaurant, and we had a wonderful, you know, meal. And then afterwards, I pulled up my wallet and I wanted to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no, 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 I pay. So I said, no, Andre, I mean, look, this is so unbelievable that you got me in to see you wrestle. got us the front row seats and everything like that. So let me do my share. I'm paying. He says, no, I pay. I said, no, I'm insisting. He grabs me like this, and he lifts me up like a little kid, and he puts me on top of a cabinet of some credenza up there, and I'm sitting up there, and he then goes and pays the bill. I mean,
it's like, it's, put you on a shelf like an elf?
Exactly. Is there it's absolutely hilarious, I tell you that. But I mean, just, it shows you, his hands were just like three times the size of my hands, and he just grabbed me like nothing. And just while he was talking, he was lifting me up. So this was a really, really powerful guy.
All right, three last ones for you. Arnold Schwarzenegger, celebrity, true or false? True or false, you turned down the role of John McClane in Die Hard?
I couldn't do the film because of another obligation that I had. So I already was booked for that time when they wanted to shoot the movie. So I couldn't do it.
So, but they reached out to you to do it.
In the beginning, well, because Joel Silver,
yes,
who was the producer, was the producer also of Commando and of Predator.
Yes.
A spectacular producer.
Yes.
I mean, he was really, really good. And so, of course, I wanted to work with him again, but it just somehow didn't work out. And he had to go and start shooting the film. So, therefore, it didn't work out.
Okay, two more. True or false, while filming Twins, you had inadvertently smoked a cigar spiked with marijuana given to you by Danny DeVito. Is that true?
That's true.
What happened? He spiked it and handed it to you? As a gag?
Well, he did to me what I normally do to people. So he just turned it around. and that son of a bitch got me to really fall for it. You know, he says, Arnold, I make some pasta for lunch. He makes really good pasta, okay? He's really into the cooking.
Sure.
And I say, okay. He says, come to my trailer and we have lunch. And then so he made the lunch and then he served it outside. We were sitting outside his motorhome. And we were doing, he says, I have some cheesecake. Oh, Italian cheesecake, it's fantastic. And so he came out with the cheesecake and then with the espresso. You know, with the finger lifted out, the little finger, the way they do in Europe, the way they serve these little cups, one finger out, and this is how you drink.
Yes.
And so he comes out with his coffee, and he says, I drink it, and I say, oh, it's fantastic. He says, Schwarzenegger, you always give me good stogies. I am always a stingy bastard, he says. I never give you any stogies. I have a really good stogie. Monte Cristo number 2. Look at this. Look at the shape of this, huh? You know, it's like a torpedo-shaped kind of like Churchill used to smoke those.
Sure.
The number 2. So he knew that my saliva was running together. You know, kind of like, I was like looking for that, getting that cigar into my mouth as quickly as possible. And he says, let me light it for you. He says, let me cut it first. And he cut the end and he did the whole treatment so it didn't look weird that he's on it, and then he put it in my mouth, and he says, okay, let me light it. He lit it like this, and then all of a sudden, I started smoking it. And then it was a really, really good cigar. So he says, how are you feeling? I said, great, really great. We go back to the set to continue on the scene that we stopped before lunch, which was my close-up. And he was standing there next to the camera. And then all of a sudden, he said his line. And I said, can anyone help me here? What's the line? And then someone fed me the line. And it sounded like, literally, like I've never even heard that line before. It wasn't like kind of like I just had to be kind of reminded of something.
Oh,
so anyway, I said, hold it. I said, guys, there's something off here. I cannot remember the lines. I said, so can you give me... So the script supervisor comes to me and she says, well, here is the scene you started this morning here. And I'm looking at the scene that we already did in the morning where we started. And I couldn't remember that either anymore. That they never even shot the scene.
Wow.
So it was just not in there. It was the craziest thing. So then I just said, okay, look, Danny, why don't you do the close-ups, and I'm on this side of the camera, and then hopefully this passes. And sure enough, after an hour, it passed. So he did his close-ups. And then an hour later, then we turned around again. And all of a sudden, I started remembering everything again. He came back and we did the scenes. And then, good stogie, Danny would say to me, good stogie, huh? So that's when I got it finally.
Oh.
That son of a gun.
Oh, you know,
fooled me. Yeah.
Last one then. True or false, Arnold, you suffered broken fingers and multiple stitches on more than one occasion while filming Total Recall.
That's true. Yeah, so broken fingers from the fight scenes. I had my hand at the wrong place when the guy kicked me in the face. You know, I tried to block it rather than to just take the hit. And so he broke my finger. And then, you know, a week later, I was chasing the train at the train station.
Yeah.
And the idea was I was running after the train as it was taking off. And I had the gun in the hand, and then I smashed a window. And so as I smashed the window, the guy is sitting inside, the special effects guy, and he presses the button of the explosion. So that as soon as I go and hit the window explodes, and my hand can go through. Well, it didn't work. And so my hand went through actual glass, and then I cut everything down here.
Whoa.
And I was bleeding like crazy, all the way down to the tendon. But I tell you something.
Yes.
You know, we have certain kind of images of Mexico. I don't want to be called with this kind of injuries in the middle of the night. They had a doctor, a young doctor, he maybe was early 30s, on a set. That guy was so good. He stitched me up. He put a Band-Aid on it. And literally an hour later, I was chasing the train again and smashing into the window.
Wow.
And it was like a really amazing how efficient those guys were down the medical team and all that stuff when there were injuries like that. Yeah.
Well, we could go on and on and on and on. We've hardly even scratched the surface of your filmography. Hopefully you'll come back and we'll do this again. We're all thrilled to have you here.
Well, it's great to be on it. And I love doing it because each one of those podcasts is different.
Yes.
And it's a really great way to promote the book.
Yeah.
Because to me, the important thing is to keep the book alive, not to just promote it like a movie when it comes out.
Yes.
But to make the book have legs. And it's like going up and up and up in the sales. So I'm ecstatic about it.
And you should be. Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Go get it where all books are sold, certainly in time for the holidays. A perfect gift for anybody that wants to make a difference. And
can I ask you a question?
I'm here for you, sir.
Yes. Okay, good. What is it that you enjoy the most about your podcast and about interviewing people?
I'd love to meet people. I really do. And that's why this show is also a radio show, because I love giving out the phone number and having people call in and get to meet them and get to chat. I used to be a stand-up comic in college. I'd always love the back and forth. I love the reaction from people. Right. And I don't get that, you know, in a studio's environment.
Right.
I just love telling, you know, I love hearing people tell stories. I love eliciting stories. I love making people feel comfortable. I love all of that.
Yeah,
I really
do. You're
doing
a great job with
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And what I detected is that you're curious. And I think that in your job,
yes,
when you're curious, half of the battle is won. Because you're curious about people. You're curious about their stories, and that comes out when you do the interview.
Well, I'm honored for you to say that.
Much.
So thank you for saying that, too. And one thing that I learned, you know, over doing this for as long as I am, the toughest part is listening.
Yeah,
you know, because I'm always thinking, like, what's the next question,
but
whatever.
So one of my chapters in the book is
listening.
Open your mind and shut your mouth. Exactly, yeah.
I know.
Because God gave us 2 ears and only 1 mouth, right? So let's listen twice as much. That's
for sure.
Idea, yeah.
Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life, again, where all books are sold. The great Arnold Schwarzenegger here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you.
Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports. The number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick 2 players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
All right. So there was that.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Still buzzing.
Yeah.
Well.
We'll be all weekend.
We have video. Was this you, TJ, who took the video? Of him snagging the chair?
Yeah, I came around the corner to introduce myself, and then he said the chair, and I sat there and looked for a second. I was like, oh, let me record this.
Well, he walked out, and he saw this spot, and we're very proud of our guest chairs.
Yeah.
Because, again, they're the originals. We keep them. I think guests are, you know, offensive linemen can fit in them.
They're very comfortable.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. You know, they all fit in the chair.
Danny DeVito sat in them, and David Spade sits cross-legged in them, you know, and so, but they're comfortable, and that's what I want the guests to be, is comfortable so the stories can be elicited. He looked at him, and he literally said, that's a baby chair.
Baby chair.
I can't sit in a baby chair.
And we thought he was
joking.
I was like,
had no
what's going on?
Then he turns around, looks at my chair, and is like, I want that one.
So he goes over to Chris's desk and starts rolling. Chris, he's like, I want that chair.
There he is.
And he just he wheeled it over himself.
That's right. There he is.
You know, it's about, 20 feet?
There's RJ taking out the chair. There you are, Mike, getting in there, making sure that. Because initially he said he wanted to use the stool that's next to him to sit on that.
Yeah, the stool. Yeah.
But that's a table, not a stool.
He would have broken it.
Are you kidding me?
He would have broken it.
And plus, my entire time in the interview, I'd be thinking, oh, my God, that thing's going to break. It's going to break. It'd be in my head, too. And we've been waiting to have Arnold here forever.
For years.
He literally was like, that's
a baby chair.
Baby chair.
Like he said that. It's not a tumor.
It's
what it sounded like.
100%.
We all just kind of looked at each other.
We were just
wait,
is this really happening?
Is this real?
And
you're like,
really
okay.
Happening.
And then he took your chair.
And he just was like, I like your chair. And I'm like, okay. I have no chair.
I'll be sitting.
And luckily, this guy that was with him was like, yeah, he does that with chairs.
Is that right?
Yeah, he said he does it everywhere we go.
And then he signed your T2 poster.
There
it is.
No,
all right. Very good.
Call Robert Patrick.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, part of our Roku channel live stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
What a day, man.
Whew. Irv in, Irv out, Terminator in, Terminator out.
And Tommy P.
Playmaker in. Oh, let's not forget Tommy P.
Yeah, that's our guy.
Tom Pelissero telling us what everything that's going on. That was awesome. I got to be honest with you. We've been so fortunate to have a lot of folks here. And there are times when I'm interviewing them and I'm like, what would the, you know,
little
10, 15-year-old version of myself be thinking?
Dude, all the time.
You know, the one who would, you know, look up to see when Conan the Barbarian was airing on Wometco, you know, WHT, the box that I would flip the switch on channel 3 on my, you know, and see when is Conan airing, you know, not O'Brien, the Barbarian.
I was just going to say.
You know, and here he is. And great job to Hoskins and Sean Mitchell and our entire production staff. I didn't know we had that Wilt Chamberlain, Andre the Giant photo in the chamber.
What's funny I saw it on Kyle Brandt's Instagram story.
Oh, is that right?
He just randomly popped it out there. And I'm like, wow, this is an incredible picture.
Yeah, is that how it wound up in our...
Yes. I sent it to those guys.
Oh, cool.
And then Smitch found another one on Getty. So it's kind of random.
Yeah, because Chris was like, did you see this? I'm like, I've posted this picture about 20 times. You've never seen this? He goes, no, this is amazing.
Yeah, very famous photo. I just, you know, hadn't seen it. Hadn't forgot about it. Kyle posted it. We got to use it.
We've now had two very fun stories about fighting over a check. You remember Richard Lewis talking about fighting over paying with Larry David?
Yeah.
Chinese food, and how Larry ordered a whole bunch of stuff and then left because it was poker night. Took a call from Steve Martin. Oh, I forgot it's poker night.
Gotta go.
And just the way that he told the story, it reminded me of Richard Lewis telling that story. Now he's fighting over the check of Andre the Giant.
Well, you're not really fighting with Andre. Okay?
Well, you're not going to win that.
Whereas Larry removed himself from the situation, Andre removed Arnold from the situation by like an elf on the shelf.
No, obviously, as a wrestling fan, I've read that story before, but I've never actually heard it told to verify that it was true. So as he's saying it, I'm like, yeah, I read this. And I was like, oh, wow, he really did pick him up and put him on the shelf.
Unreal. That was so cool.
All right. How do we top this? I'll tell you how we top it. On Tuesday's show, in studio, scheduled to appear, star Ferrari, Adam Driver will be here.
Oh.
And fresh off his SNL hosting. He's hosting SNL Saturday.
Oh, sweet.
So Adam Driver, Kylo Ren himself will be here.
How about that?
You got to dig up a nice celebrity true or false there. One thing that is true, you know he's a former Marine?
Yeah.
I guess you can't say former Marine.
Once a Marine. Yeah, I did know that.
I did not know that about Adam Driver. And Tony Shalhoub will be our first guest Tuesday, coming off of his Packers playing the Giants on Monday night.
He's a big fan.
So... that's how we're rolling.
Man, we're just on fire.
Justin Jefferson is playing. He's back. Just in time for all those people who drafted him first overall in fantasy drafts and have been missing him for 7 weeks. So you get him back, huh?
Well, I had him in this big money league I'm in that someone actually paid for me to play.
I don't know what you're talking about. As an NFL employee, it just went in one ear out the other.
I drafted him first, guys. I went 4-0. Then he got hurt along with Kyren Williams and James Conner, and I lost 7 in a row. So I was pretty much done.
Number one pick in fantasy has kind of been a kiss of death the last few years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right, Jonathan Taylor last year.
But hey, McCaffrey, he did his part.
Well, McCaffrey was 2 years ago, and then he got hurt. Well, last year, too, right?
It was between he and Jefferson, most of them.
Well, stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone all season long. You can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner and me all season long for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
So do we all pick up Jerick McKinnon?
If you haven't, you're snoozing and you're losing. That dude scoring a touchdown
on
Sunday. You and I all know it. You and I know it. McKinnon is the guy that Mahomes throws it to when everyone else is. He hasn't been playing. Guess who's going to open up this offense? That guy.
Yeah.
Oh, great report. Let me know about Isaiah Pacheco.
No problem.
And I appreciate, again, my friends at Roku not minding me taking out actual real estate on their portal to pick somebody up in fantasy.
That's your appeal. You're a real person, right?
You know what? Thank you.
You're doing the things that the people
I'm curious,
doing.
As Arnold says. I was curious if he was available.
You were.
And he was, but not anymore.
You want to make sure no one in your league knew.
All right. What a big sports weekend, everybody. We will chat again Monday back on the Roku channel to wrap this thing up in a sec.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. and Conrad Thompson, too.
1995, when WCW announces they're going to be live and head-to-head with Monday Night Raw, feels like this would have been something Vince would have kind of laughed off.
No, we did not like them moving to Monday nights. There were a lot of hotels. They all carried CNN, TBS, and TNT. Vince was convinced that Ted Turner had deviously done this deal to get in the hotels and keep us out.
Something to Wrestle, wherever you listen.